Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another one of the mini-casts that we are doing. I have titled this one Mental Health Monopolization because we're going to be looking at all kinds of strange things. Well, not really strange things that we're kind of already very well aware of. You know, the fact that there is a mental health crisis amongst children, that IQs are dropping, you know, that they're literally trying to induce a state of not only psychosis, but a state where we're dazed, confused, drugged up, and totally distracted on all these different things that are going on recently. And this is one of the reasons as to why we are doing the minicast. We're hearing how the World Health Organization has classified gaming addiction as a mental health disorder. Why is this important? We'll be getting into that and more in this edition. So with that being said, let's jump right into it. So as I said before, you know, we have right here the World Health Organization classifying gaming as a mental health disorder. We'll get into this because it's important. You know, this is something that we follow on the page, on the show, all the time. You know, what are they trying to do by getting us addicted to technology? What are they trying to do by getting us hooked on all of these different things? I typically say, you know, look at how we are using their tools of enslavement for tools of enlightenment, because yes, that's exactly what we're doing. We're trying to use these things that they've designed to dumb us down and put us in a state of subservience into an artificial simulation. We're using these tools as tools of enlightenment. Right here, study reveals 45% of American teens are online, quote, almost constantly. Research reveals software and Wi-Fi radiation causes addicted behavior. I put this up June 5th. It's by Activist Post. Now, I want to point this out before we get into this actual article. You know, what does this mean that that this has addictive behavior? That it creates some kind of chemical imbalance in your brain? Well, think of it kind of like the Pavlovian experiment, right? Because we're so used to this type of stuff, we like the pain. We go back to the pain. The pain is familiar, and that's the whole point behind these things. We've talked about it time and time again, how they're literally using technology as a drug, so to speak, to indoctrinate people into getting people addicted, to literally just breaking down the mental barrier to where people, you know, don't even think about it. Sean Parker himself, one of the co-founders of Facebook, has actually talked about how with Facebook, the idea behind Facebook was them literally creating it to where it just gives you a little dopamine hit. You know, he talks about it being the social media, the social validation feedback loop, to where, you know, you post content, you put stuff up there, And you get validation from society, right? Well, what this does is it tricks your brain. It makes your brain start thinking, okay, well, if I do this, then I get dopamine, then I get serotonin. You know, I get happy. I want these types of things to happen. Here, let's see if we can get this clip up for you guys, because, you know, don't take it from me. Hear it from, you know, somebody who designed the system. Let's see, is that ready? Yeah.
Need a crappy drawing of a pink bird thing?
No, I don't.
Ask your niece.
More ads. More fantastic ads, courtesy of Fiverr, where we have our services. You guys can go look up, and of YouTube. But let's get this video playing for you guys. I'm not trying to plug.
Facebook, the site's first president, Sean Parker, is now admitting that Facebook was designed to be addictive, and he's now worried about what that means for our children's brains. ABC's Ariel Reshef is here with the story. Good morning, Ariel.
Good morning to you, George. Anyone who uses social media might admit it can be hard to tear yourself away. Now the former head of Facebook says... that's exactly what the founders intended. And like the site he helped create, this morning, he has our attention.
He's the billionaire brainiac who helped launch Facebook, otherwise known as the guy Justin Timberlake played in The Social Network.
Drop the just Facebook.
But now, former Facebook president Sean Parker is sounding the alarm about the potentially addictive nature of social media.
Like, what is that doing to people's brains?
Speaking at an Axios event Wednesday, Parker, who worked with Mark Zuckerberg to develop Facebook, with a bombshell claim, saying the site was intentionally built to hook you.
That thought process was all about, how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible? It's a social validation feedback loop because you're exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology.
The 38-year-old mogul admits he, along with other pioneers of social media, knew what they were doing.
We understood this consciously, and we did it anyway.
Facebook estimates its more than 2 billion users spend about 50 minutes per day on its apps, including Instagram and Messenger.
It literally changes your relationship with society, with each other.
While the medical community has yet to classify social media as addictive like alcohol or gambling, one recent study found that participants who appeared to use social media most compulsively showed changes in the part of the brain that controls impulse.
It's much more helpful to say, look, we're very vulnerable to this. It acts on us in many ways, in the ways addictive substances will.
As for Parker, he now calls himself a conscientious objector to the site he helped create.
Will you post on Facebook again?
Of course. No, I post on Facebook all the time. I post on, I use these platforms. I just don't let these platforms use me.
Now, Parker left Facebook in 2005 and now runs his own cancer research institute. He says he's now cut back his social media use because it's too much of a time sink. Irony there. We reached out to Facebook for comment. So far, we have not heard back.
Does take a lot of time for a lot of people. Thanks very much.
Well, hey there, GMA fans. Robin Roberts here. Thanks for checking out our YouTube channel. Lots of great stuff here. So go on, click the subscribe button right over here to get more
information. Stop advertising on our posts. What I'm trying to talk to you guys about, you know, by having this information out there, by literally, you know, letting you hear it from Facebook's founder, hit from Sean Parker's mouth. The idea behind this was so that they could literally create a addicted population. Like, that's how this works. That's why when we look at the depths of social media, how it's basically social engineering, and the idea behind it is to literally not only make you depressed, but get you addicted, get you stuck into a system to where you totally forego the real world. What we're seeing right now in front of you guys is a graphic from the Pew Research Center where they say 45% of teens say they're online almost constantly. And they're comparing it with 24% of people who were online constantly back in 2014 to 2015. So that number's almost doubled. That's basically what we're talking about. And all this really does is it's brain hacking. This is social engineering. It's telling you what to think, how to feel, and how to act. You see, people don't understand that when we, as Sean Parker said, you know, he's using it, but he's not letting it use him. People don't understand how that's the case in so many different ways. We're not understanding how literally people, and this was confirmed even last week, how phones are showing ads based on conversations that phones hear, because that's how advanced the technology is. The idea behind creating such an all-encompassing system is so that people cannot escape it, so people do not escape it, so that it is always present, so that we are always monitored, and that they can always engineer these types of things. As wild as this might sound, we have to understand that what they're doing is incremental. This is why 5G is so dangerous. This is why not knowing restraint can also be dangerous. Right here, I'll play for you guys this clip. I put this up May 31st. It says, scientists say that constant alerts from the smartphone may impact brain chemistry.
And this is the report. It happens all the time. Phones interrupting meetings, conversations with colleagues, and even time with kids. Research shows those constant interruptions can create a different chemistry in the brain.
There's this phenomenon that they call switch cost, that when there's an interruption, we switch away from the task that we're at, and then we have to come on back. We think it interrupts our efficiency with our brains by about 40%. Our nose is always getting off the grindstone, then we have to reorient ourselves.
The new reality for many is that technology has put the brain on high alert most of the time, waiting for the next notification. And doctors say when it happens, people can get little surges of the stress hormone cortisol, which can cause the heart rate to jump. Some people can get sweaty hands and muscles can get a little tight. Being unable to check phones immediately can cause those feelings of anxiety to last until people are able to check their device. Doctors say breaking that pattern involves creating it happens.
Basically, what we're talking about, and let's just get into the meat of what we're here for, how the World Health Organization has classified gaming addiction as a mental health. What we're here to talk about is how this wasn't accidental. This was incremental. They're very well aware, creating all the different types of things that they did, the apps, the phone, the radiation, and everything else. They made this black device, this tool, this soul-sucking tool, with the implications that it would just take everything from you. Not only your life, but your energy, your essence, your dreams, your hopes, every single thing. And if this is your first time listening to one of our mini casts, I assure you, go back and find some of the episodes where we've talked about this. Things such as digital tripping, techno sorcery. All of these things are important when looking at what you're looking at. When you're looking at our phone, looking at our laptops, looking at the Xbox, the PlayStation, all these different things are literally designed to keep us in a state of subservience. Let me get into this article right here. It's from SHTF Plan. I put it up June 18th. It says the World Health Organization classifies gaming addiction as a mental health disorder. It says that the World Health Organization has just announced that an addiction to video games, dubbed a gaming addiction, is now a mental health disorder. The World Health Organization also said that gaming disorder is a unique mental health disorder or mental health condition. The World Health Organization announced gaming disorder as a new mental health condition included in the 11th edition of its International Classification of Diseases, released Monday. The WHO defines a, quote, gaming disorder as having three major characteristics that experts say are similar to substance abuse disorder or substance use disorders, drug addiction, and gambling disorder. Quote, one is that the gaming behavior takes precedence over other activities to the extent that other activities are taken to the periphery, said Dr. Vladimir Pozniak of the World Health Organization's Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse. He told this to CNN. The other two characteristics that must be present are impaired control over gaming and a continuation or an increase in gaming despite negative consequences like disturbed sleep patterns, like diet problems, or a deficiency in physical activity, Pozniak said. But these patterns of behavior must be present for at least 12 months before a gaming condition or gaming addiction can be diagnosed as a disorder, according to the New York Post. It cannot be just an episode of few hours or a few days, Pozniak warned. Quote, I am not creating a precedent, Dr. Pozniak added. Pozniak proposed that the new diagnosis to the WHO's decision-making body, the World Health Assembly, instead, he said, who has followed, quote, the trends and developments which have taken place in populations and in the professional field. The news was cheered by Hillary Cash, the co-founder of Restart, one of the first inpatient treatment programs in the United States for video game addiction. Quote, I've been surprised it's taken so long for everybody to understand that they need to have a strong research-based evidence before they bring up a new disorder. She said, I think it's a game changer, although how quickly the game will change, I don't know. Now, why is this important? Why are we talking about gaming as a mental health disorder? Because that's how it starts. Escapism. Literally being able to play video games and just, you know, disassociate from reality, take a break from reality. I talk all the time about how what I'm doing here, the constant vigilance, the reporting, the information, the things that we're doing, they could easily define me as having ODD, opposition defiance disorder, because I don't believe that I don't believe in someone telling me what to do. I don't believe in a lot of authority. I don't believe in a lot of what we have today as a system. When we go around and start tossing new disorders and creating all kinds of different things, we have to understand where they're coming from, what this base is. This is why prior to getting into this article, I wanted to show how this was already pre-planned. Gaming addiction. Look at your phone. How many games do you have on there? It doesn't matter if you have a PS4 or an Xbox One. We're still creating these different types of things, these different types of avenues that practice escapism.
So it turns out if you take a elementary school child and you bring him or her to the lab and you give them a virtual experience, a week later when you bring those same kids back, 50% of them will believe that that virtual experience happened in the physical world.
The lab has partnered with Sesame Street to study the implications of that.
So what we're doing with Sesame Street is, first of all, we're just exploring what type of content would be engaging for kids. But more importantly, we're trying to see what's going to happen to a five-year-old in general when she puts on the helmet. I mean, is this okay for the perceptual system of a five-year-old?
Five-year-olds like Anna Perrone, whose father allowed us to observe her playing with Grover.
She's been in VR a few times before. We actually did have it in her living room set up. She got to try it out.
I got to do the construction.
Oh yeah, you were the one where you were a robot and the floor turned into a pit. Yes, and then the elephant game.
So it turns out if you take an elementary school child.
I have some nieces and nephews that are already very adept at 3 and 4, literally with iPhones, with iPads, and everything else. I was talking the other day with my brother about how, you know, within the gaming community, the gaming industry, how people are talking about these 60 frames per second and how it's going to get to a point to where it's seamless, to where our minds, our eyes, won't literally be able to distinguish what is virtual reality versus what is reality. But this is all part of the plan to get it to where we are so addicted to all of these different distractions, all of these different toys, this augmented reality, that we forego natural reality, that we forego what is real. You see, just the other day we put up an article that says, new study suggests young people's IQs are in decline. Could it be because of what we're consuming, what we're eating, what we're seeing, what we're talking about, what we're engaging in? Whenever I was talking with Sachin of Spoon of Consciousness, he asked me, how do we help people with an education? People need to be challenged. And I don't mean by, you know, Black Ops 3 or 4 standards. I mean real world challenges. There are so many different things, so many different ways to just address this alone, that we have to understand first the foundation on how we got here. Why our IQs are dropping. Why we're becoming addicted to technology. Why we're becoming addicted to these very things that are literally destroying us. This isn't new. If people begin to ask those types of questions, this isn't new. This has been happening for a while. And now that it's here, you know, people are asking different questions. What happens whenever we slowly start to disassociate from reality? I mean, I know we probably all have that one friend that's always stuck on Snapchat, or always stuck on Instagram, or always stuck on Facebook, or that has literally transcended their normal life to become some kind of social media star. It's crazy. I myself am probably susceptible to it. I probably have had this happen to me in one shape or another. There's a lot of different things to look at when classifying a new disorder, when looking at people's IQs dropping, when looking at addictive behavior, when looking at all of this. But ultimately, we have to understand that this is social engineering at its core. And if we continue to play these games and to continue to use these tools of enslavement, they will keep us. They will trap us. They will literally keep us on this plantation of thought where they can control everything we say and do. This is why you're constantly hearing me say we have to use these tools of enslavement as tools of enlightenment. However, that's all I really have for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll put it in the description bar below. And as always, guys, stay vigilant. Expose lies and share truth. This is Noise Era, Freedom Faction, out.